say, the school, or escort me to the security office, which was on campus. And by the way, there was a security office on campus and on every campus, and one to two people in every classroom watching the rest of us. And sometimes an entire show would disappear. I would come back to the gallery, and there is none left of the show. And then I have to go and being interrogated for an entire day, answering the regime questions and the nature of the show. Unfortunately, abstract work has this duality when we could just say, no, it doesn't mean this, it means this.
And describe how and why you left Iraq.
So the last trouble I got into the regime of Saddam, it was 1990, when Saddam invaded Kuwait. And at that year, in the fall of the year, the regime came to schools to asking us to volunteer to go to Kuwait and fight. I was one of the students who disagreed. But I was the one, and with other people, who stood and said, no, I don't believe this. I am not going to volunteer. And I know from that moment I was blacklisted and I had to be on the run. So I started running from Baghdad, made it to Najaf. And that's now 91, when an uprising took place after the Gulf War. And during that uprising, unfortunately, United States gave the green light for Saddam to crush the uprising. And again, I was on the move, and I did not stop until I reached the border with Kuwait, when I stayed there with American troops for 45 days before I was transferred to Saudi Arabia refugee camp for 2 years. Unfortunately, after that, I was able to come to the United States. So a lot of the work of the early period in the United States, reflective of my disenchantment with Saddam regime, but also with American government and how they kept an 8 year or more an embargo on the Iraqi people, which destroyed whatever left after the Kuwait war.
Would you describe yourself as a political artist?
I think all art is political. It's just a matter of what we are meditating on. Even the fact that is a person refused to do political art, that is a political move. And I think it depends where we are. And what I mean by that, art is meditation. You could meditate on aesthetic, but also you could meditate on pain. And unfortunately, I'm not privileged or in a position to meditate on aesthetic when I could withdraw myself from the political dialogue to my studio and I meditate on aesthetic. So until that change, I have to engage myself and others during art in the political dialogue, which is very necessary.
And how do you see the role of art more generally, both in Iraq, growing up under Saddam Hussein, in Iraq today, and now in the United States?
Art is a powerful medium. Engage people. And I think that's what we need, you know. It depends, and it doesn't matter what medium you decide to use. I think the objective is to engage people. But now, more than ever, artists have a lot more powerful tools to play with, since the playing field has been leveled. And what I mean by that, art does not have to be confined to a physical space, the gallery or museums, but now we have the power of the internet when we could enter people's homes and offices and engage them in the dialogue. Art is not only there to educate. Art is to agitate as well.
Iraqi-American artist Wafa Bilal, you can watch the art display at wafabilal.com. That does it for our broadcast. I'll be in Tufts in Medford, Massachusetts today at 6. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
May I say something, please? My heart beats in time to rock and roll. I love every loud minute of it.
I'm a rock and roll kamikaze, and you know that I'd die for you.
What do you know about music?
Rock and roll is cool, daddy, and you know it.
Rock and roll is a safe and sane dance for all young people.
My baby, baby, bala, bala.
Hasn't hurt me any, has it?
My baby, baby, bala, bala, bala.
The rock and roll dance party. The best oldies you've never heard and the newest platters that matter. Tuesday nights, 9 p.m. until midnight. Right here on 90.1 FM, WUSB, Stony Brook.
Oh, man, this cat's a positive guess.
Hello, this is Anna with your concert billboard for Tuesday, March 9th. At the Sullivan Hall, we have That One Guy at 8 p.m. Knitting Factory in Brooklyn, we have Ted Leo and a Pharmacist record release and karaoke party at 7 p.m. in the main space. At our own Stola Center for the Arts, we have University Orchestra Children's Concert at 7:30 p.m. And at Crazy Donkey, we have Bowling for Soup at 7 p.m. On Wednesday, March 10th, at the Town Hall, we have the Magnetic Fields. The Gramercy Theater, we have Emmanuel and the Fear at 8:30 p.m. At our own Stola Center for the Arts, we have Contemporary Chamber Players at 8 p.m. And at Sullivan Hall, we have Mew My Trolls with special guests Run 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 at 8 p.m. On Thursday, March 11th, BB Kings, we have David Honeyboy Edwards and Mark Benno at 8 p.m. Vale Levitt Music Hall, we have Rob Garcia IV at 8 p.m. United Palace Theater, we have the Allman Brothers Band. And at Theater at Westbury, we have Solas with special guest Sam Bush. At the Fillmore, New York, at Irving Plaza, we have Dillinger Escape Plan at 8 p.m. And at the Sullivan Hall, we have Walter Wolfman Washington, Joel Crown, Russell Batiste with special guest Honey Island Swamp Band at 8 p.m. If you would like to see more concert listings, please visit us at www.wusb.fm. Thank you for listening to the Concert Billboard at WUSB Stony Brook.
And this is WUSB Stony Brook. The time is 6:02. Which means it's time once again for another exciting edition of Off the Wall. Oh, yeah, okay. That's how it's going to be, huh? All right, no sound at all. Let me wiggle the switch. No, that's not going to do it. Okay, you see, the thing is, we have a CD player that's working, but it's not coming up on the board. And then we have a CD player that's not working, and it's not coming up on the board. Oh, here's what happened. Somebody decided to take it out of program, and there's no switch to get it back. Hold on a second. Hold on, I gotta... Unbelievable. Okay. Between the humans and the equipment, it's a regular, it's a marathon trying to get things done here. All right, here we go. Time for Off the Wall. Thank you. Okay, let's just get this over with. I'm very happy what just happened to me didn't happen to me on the air, because, well, first of all, welcome, Dot Red. You're here as well.
Hey! Hey,
your microphone works amazing. No, you just witnessed, all the technical and human things that are going on here, just sitting, minding my own business, recovering from that, the chair suddenly collapses as I'm sitting on it, and, of course, when that happens, you can't help yourself, but you utter an epithet of some sort, and I wouldn't be able to control myself.
Yeah.
And we're not in delay yet, so that would have been right there, $375,000 I'd have to cough up by end of week.
I'm sure you could do it.
Yeah, well, we'll see. We'll see about that. Welcome. This is Off the Wall. Here we are, another action-packed edition of the program. We only have one CD player working in this place now. And, you know, I just can't believe that somebody would take it out of gear so that it was impossible to play. And you really have to... The knobs have fallen off, so you can't just switch it. You have to grind your fingernails in there. It's a sabotage, what it is. That's, for me, personally, sabotaging my fingers. But anyway, we survived. We made it. We're here. Actually, we haven't made it out of here yet, but we'll see about that. We have a couple of exciting features, and actually only one exciting feature. We'll be taking phone calls a little bit later on, as this is the last program before the spring fundraiser begins here at WUSB, so we won't be able to take phone calls next week or for the next few weeks after that. It's important, if you want to give us a call, that you do so this week. 631-632-9872 is our telephone number. We have all kinds of interesting things happening. Actually, Dot Red, one of the things that you witnessed was a little war we had out here on Long Island. Not just Long Island, New Jersey, Connecticut, various other places. War between corporations. This was really funny to watch unfold. Some people get really upset by this, but what apparently happened was there was a disagreement between the Disney Corporation and Cablevision, and that resulted in Sunday morning at 12:01 a.m., Disney pulling their ABC affiliate off of Cablevision. So Channel 7, which is the ABC affiliate here, was not receivable by anybody who had Cablevision as their company, as their provider. Now, it's particularly interesting because, you know, I really did think this, and I guess I'm about 10 or 20 years out of date, but I thought that cable television providers simply took the signal off the air and rebroadcast it in much better quality. I know that's what it used to be. That's how cable television started. It basically was taking lousy signal off the air and sending it to homes with a crystal clear reception. I remember that was one of the selling points, crystal clear reception. And if that were the case, well, then how could Disney have turned off Channel 7 just to Cablevision? But apparently what they do now is they have fiber optic connections to all of the different cable providers, so they can send specific messages to a particular provider. If they don't like a particular provider, they can send all kinds of propaganda saying Cablevision is I think what happened at 12 o'clock, Cablevision has betrayed you again. It was just great seeing this volley I guess nasty words going back and forth between two corporations, expecting the populace to take sides and take up arms maybe against the other side. So what happened was they started saying that. It was the middle of a repeat of Lost, actually. They started saying Cablevision has betrayed you again, and now you won't be able to see this because they won't pay us the amount of money that we say they should pay us. And then they just pulled the signal. There was no signal, and that was replaced by Cablevision playing a little propaganda film talking about how ABC and Disney are very greedy and how they're demanding all this money that they have no right to demand, and the reason they're doing this is because of their theme parks are failing and they have to pay their highly paid executives. It was incredible, but just the vitriol that was being thrown around. And also, they made this even more interesting because if you turned off your cable box and you turned it back on again, it would automatically go to channel 1,999, and that channel was dedicated to anti-ABC propaganda. So basically, and this happened even before the signal was pulled. If you turned off your box and turned it on again, the very first thing you would see would be a little film about why ABC is evil and why they're trying to steal money and things like that. And it's just incredible when you see the abuse of power that that all these corporations engage in when they have these little battles amongst themselves, using people as pawns. And so Sunday came around. The Academy Awards are scheduled for Sunday evening. And so, you know, people are starting to panic. It's Sunday, and we can't get Channel 7. How else are we possibly going to see the Academy Awards, which our entire year revolves around? And so Cablevision was feeling a lot of pressure, but apparently they had no choice because they weren't able to carry the signal without permission from ABC. I don't think they could have just tuned into another ABC affiliate. I don't think they could have streamed in any other way. So they either had to cough up the money or keep them off the air. And a lot of people were blaming Cablevision for this. I mean, honestly, it didn't seem like this was their fault. But one thing they did do, which was kind of both funny and annoying at the same time, midway through this, they suddenly made an announcement. And you saw this announcement if you watched the propaganda films or went to other channels. All on-demand movies are free today. Yeah. Today, March, what was it, 6th? March 7th. If you select a pay-per-view movie, which is ordinarily something like $5-6, all day today, it's free. Now, what do you think happened? Well, right away, I went nuts and I said, "Oh wow, I'm going to watch movies now!" And I started to set my VCR up so I could record them, so I could have two different sets getting pay-per-view at once, and I wanted to see if this actually would work. But the problem was, everybody was doing the same thing, and nobody got through. So there were no pay-per-views at all. You just got this message saying, please wait. It never happened. So people were getting livid at Cablevision, because not only were they not getting Channel 7, and, you know, that's like the end of days when you can't do that, but now this present that was given to the people by Cablevision to make up for that, that wasn't even working. And, of course, when they said try again later, they meant try again when it costs money, and nobody wanted to do that. Anyway, upshot is they somehow settled their differences, I think 15 minutes after the Academy Awards began, and Channel 7 was restored. But here's the thing, and this is what really annoys me more than anything. They won't tell us what the settlement was. After putting everybody through this, after forcing everyone to see their stupid drama, and make people actually take sides in their battles, they won't tell us what they actually agreed on. Isn't that incredible?
Yeah, I know. Like, you know, but isn't this like the standard thing to do? I mean, with Time Warner and Fox. News Corp, they did the same thing.
Yeah, they did the same thing. They had a similar thing on January 1st, and they reached some kind of agreement. But we're not allowed to know what it is. But one thing that's interesting about this, you know, these are broadcast stations, and broadcast stations are usually carried under something known as must carry. In other words, cable company cannot say, we're not going to carry this station because we don't like it or because we don't think it's important. If it's something that is receivable over the air by people, then they have to carry it. But when that station starts demanding money for that privilege, then apparently they don't have to do that anymore.
Well, if it's supposed to be free for everybody, why are they even allowed to charge in the first place?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I think the media companies are basically getting away with anything they can get away with.
Yeah, I think it's really funny when you hear companies with highly paid corporate executives criticizing other companies for high paid corporate executives.
Yeah, I mean, it's all pretty much the same, you know? They're all pretty much massive corporations leading people around and ripping people off. Now, you know, I like Cablevision. I do, because they're the only ones that have Euronews and BBC World News, two of my favorite channels. Nobody else carries them. So, you know, they get at least one free pass just for that, okay? If you want to placate me, that's how you do it, by carrying things like that. Because those are the two channels I watch almost all the time. You know, they can get away with some injustice. In this particular case, though, I really am being honest when I say I don't think they were in the wrong. I think Disney cutting off the signal, they actually cut off the signal. That was wrong. That hurts the people that were looking forward to that program. I couldn't care less about any of this, to be honest. It didn't really matter to me. What I thought was fascinating was just watching it unfold and seeing people's reactions, seeing people really getting livid with rage. because they couldn't get a particular TV channel.
I actually think it's pretty funny that people even put that much importance behind TV in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, oh my God, it's TV.
It is TV. That's true. But it is a means of communication. They are the public airwaves.
Well, a lot of people have, internet. You know, they could use things like...
Stream the Academy Awards over internet. No, the internet was not carrying.
They don't have that on Hulu, do they?
No.
See that?
But Hulu,
that's where Hulu would make a lot of money.
Hulu, Hulu.com, by the way, HULU.com, has a lot of television programs you can just watch on demand. But that was one of the points that Cablevision was bringing up in their propaganda film, saying that ABC has so many of their programs available for free on Hulu.com. Yet they expect to us to pay them $40 million to for these programs that are available for free on the internet. So they were using all kinds of facts to prop up their particular case. Listen to this. This is what Cablevision's executive vice president of communications said. In a statement 5 minutes after midnight, which is 5 minutes after the signal was pulled, it is now painfully clear to millions of New York area households that Disney CEO Bob Iger will hold his own ABC viewers hostage in order to extract $40 million in new fees from Cablevision. In a separate statement, Rebecca Campbell, Channel 7's president and general manager, said Cablevision had betrayed its subscribers. Cablevision pocketed almost $8 billion last year, and now customers aren't getting what they pay for again. It's time for Jim Dolan and the Dolan family dynasty to finally step up, be fair, and do what's right for our viewers. It's like election day in the Ukraine or something like that. Just the amount of passion. You expect demonstrations in the street and clashes with troops and things like that. It's, what's fair here, you know?
In my opinion, it really just comes down to them having a free channel that's broadcast over the airwaves and they want to charge for it.
Yeah, well, you know, what I think is fair, I think it's fair to just give people access to all kinds of variety of broadcasting. Let them decide what it is they want to see. I shouldn't have to pay for a sports broadcast if I don't ever watch sports broadcast. But yet, that's something that everybody has to pay for. Whereas, you know, something different, it's really hard to find. I mean, channels used to be radically different. Arts and entertainment used to be about arts and entertainment. It used to have opera. Yeah, Bravo used to not have commercials. They used to have uncensored films.
And now it's all reality
and
shows.
And they now have Law and Order and of these commercial programs. They're all pretty much the same demographic that they're aiming for. And there's very little variety. There are some exceptions. They're few and far between. Very few. Very far between. Now, here's something. This is something that I consider to be positive news. All right. Bravo Networks will launch World Cinema, a new network completely dedicated to international film. Yeah, announced by the president of Bravo Networks, includes Bravo Independent Film Channel. World Cinema will launch when channel capacity is dramatically increased via digital set-top boxes, they're expecting that to be in about 12 to 24 months. Except when I looked at this story a little closer, because I was looking on the internet for information on World Cinema, and you know, I found the internet is great. The internet is amazing. You can simply find all kinds of information about exactly what it is you're looking for, and you can find it very, very quickly. And right away, I saw the story saying that World Cinema is about to be launched, a new network completely dedicated to international film. World Cinema represents the last pure untapped movie niche on television. And as demonstrated on Bravo, it reaches a passionate audience, said a company spokesperson. World Cinema will be the only place on television to feature 24 hours a day of the greatest international movie fare, all presented uncut and commercially uninterrupted with a savoir faire and chic that is connected to international films. Thousands of foreign language films are produced worldwide each year. Not enough receive theatrical or home video release in this country. Even fewer are seen on American television. Now, the network will feature approximately 50 films per month from masters such as Ingmar Bergman, Bernardo Bertolucci, Luis Buñuel, Claude Chabrol. Names go on and on. It's incredible. World Cinema will also be the only place on television to present special showcases of films from countries with emerging film industries such as China. In addition, the network will offer extensive coverage of international film festivals, including the Toronto Film Festival, the Berlin Film Festival, Locarno Film Festival, Venice Film Festival, etc., etc., etc. So, you know, finally, I see something good here. I see something positive, and it's about bloody time that they got around to this. I mean, why is this so hard for us to see on television? And then something else that happens occasionally with the internet, when you look up something, you read the story first before reading it closely. And that's when I realized that this particular story was dated September 8th, 1997. Yeah, 1997 this story came out. Where's my world cinema? So now what I had to do was I had to sort of do forensics and find out whatever happened to this thing. And that took me to a Wikipedia page all about this channel called Voom HD Movies, V-O-O-M. And this is the ominous statement that is on that particular page. Voom HD Movies was an American television channel that broadcast Hollywood blockbusters from past and present, exclusively in HD. Now, it originally launched in 2004. So even after this announcement, it took another 7 years for them to actually get around to it. But it originally launched in 2004 as World Cinema HD and featured films from around the world. In May 2008... World Cinema HD was rebranded as Voom HD Movies. In addition, the programming was changed as the channel no longer featured films from around the world, but now broadcast Hollywood blockbusters instead. The only Voom network to ever be rebranded. So apparently, it didn't work. Didn't work at all. They weren't able to even get that particular channel to ever take off in this country. And it just makes me mad. Makes me angry that you can't find a single channel that has dedicated international films. I mean, that's the kind of thing I like to see.
I am very skeptical about getting any really good content for any serious amount of time over the U.S. television. I mean,
there's a Nickelodeon game channel.
Yeah, but
a channel just for games about Nickelodeon. Not, I mean, there are so many stupid varieties of that channel alone. They can't give me one international film channel. They can't do that.
That's even part of the problem.
How about this? On something else too. There's another pet peeve of mine. When TV Land first came on the air, they actually had TV programs from the past, you know, things from the 1950s. How about some retro television, things that actually show old programs from the 1950s, maybe even the 1940s, old commercials, old newscasts, things like that? How come there's not a single channel that does that? There are some that do it for a little bit of time. I think there's something called Nostalgia TV. I don't know if they're still around. But not nearly enough, and not uncut, not with the true appreciation of the art form. And yes, television is an art form in many ways.
Yeah, but there's a large, it seems to be a large amount of pressure to just, you know, aim all your programming towards a single demographic, and you end up having all reality shows. A good example of when they, like what you're talking about with Nickelodeon and stuff like that, they start having multiple programs saying, well, since this station now isn't dealing with other people, let's have a second one, like with MTV2. And then that turns into the exact same thing as the original channels. So they make a third. And then,
I mean, MTV is another thing, you know. How could you not play music on something called music television?
Because they're all doing the same thing. You even have Cartoon Network. Now they have humans on it.
Uh-huh.
In reality show.
Well, Science Fiction Channel, not even called sci-fi anymore, it's called sci-fi or whatever, but they have reality shows, which doesn't make any sense to me at all. I mean, it's science fiction, right? So how do you have...
Because they're all trying to hit the same demographic, like you said before.
Yeah, unfortunately.
You know, if you only hit one demographic, then you know what everybody likes. Same with, they're doing it with TV, and I think they've been doing it with music as well.
Uh-huh. Well, that's my pet peeve. That's one of my pet peeves, anyway. And if anybody has any particular way out of that, I'd sure like to know, you know, what it is, what they have, what other options there are. But again, you know, I'm happy that they have the Euronews at least. Mm. That's something that I wasn't expecting. Bit of a surprise. Okay, we have a feature, but hang on, I gotta prepare this here. Dot Ray, what's new with you? Any new things in your world?
Just watching you battle all the machines around here.
It really is.
Get hit by chairs. And it's really fun.
It's, yeah.
It's very entertaining.
It's a blast. Okay, are they ready? Let me explain this to you. We've had this feature going on since the beginning of the year. Basically, it's even being talked about on Wikipedia, too. I can't believe this. But I've never been to a Starbucks, okay? And it's something that I said long time ago. I'll go to a Starbucks, but first I want to go to Korea, North Korea, and Cuba. And I've done both of those things. So now the idea is that I have to go to a Starbucks, but I don't know which one to go to first. There are about 10,000 of them, at least. And so what we've been doing week by week is cutting that number in half randomly. And last week, we brought it down to 1,024. This week, we're going to bring it down to half of that, which is 512. Eventually, what's going to happen is it's going to keep getting lower and lower and lower until it's going to get really exciting. Like right now, it's like watching paint peel. It really is, because all we're doing is cutting a number in half every week. But the station has gone to a lot of trouble. They've hired a bunch of dancers to come in here week after week. And they play traditional music, which apparently has something to do with coffee, because coffee is very traditional. Anyway, yeah, okay, they're impatient, so they're going to do their thing, and then we're going to have it divided in half one more time. And okay, I'm just going to shut up now and let them do their. There they go. Isn't that something? Look at them go. Oh, she lost it through. Pick up that shoe. Yeah, all right. Okay, you want to stand back for this part. Yeah, because she kicks one square in the face a couple of. I didn't mention this, but they do a lot of the footwork, and you almost got beamed with the shoe there. But as you can see, it's a lot of passion, a lot of tradition there, and I guess we're committed to doing this until the end. But it's quite a show, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, getting kicked in the face with someone's legs that long, you know, it's got to hurt.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, they're normal length. I don't want to put her on the spot or anything like that, but it's just too bad that this is radio. I'm not exactly sure why we're doing it this way. I say this week after week, but whatever. It works for me. It makes it more interesting. I don't know how interesting it makes it for the listeners, because they're the ones that have to.
All for you.
I hope I'm describing it and doing it justice, because it's spectacular. It's probably the most spectacular thing going on campus right now. Okay, and I also have the guy over there in the corner. I don't know if you saw him with the drums. What we do is we basically run a little computer program. We have all 1,024 names now. And what we're going to do is press this button here, and while we press the button, he's going to go with the... There he goes. Yeah. All right. And we are down to 512 now. I mean, this is exciting. As you can see, we've brought the list down. And a few weeks ago, towards the beginning of this, we picked 10 names from the top of the list and 10 names from the bottom of the list. And the idea behind that was to see how far those 20 places would get as we eliminate place by place. So as of last week, we had, of those 20, we only had two left that have survived.
Which two places were they? Just
the two places were... let's see what we got here. Clermont, Florida, and Guadalajara, Mexico.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. So I thought that was pretty interesting right there. And what we're going to do now is I'm scanning to see if they survived. Clermont, Florida has survived into the 512. And checking Guadalajara also. So both of those made it again. So it'd be funny if those make it all the way down to the finals. It's very unlikely they will, because there's literally 10 names out of a couple of thousand, or maybe more than that. Just to show you how elimination works. I'm sure people know how that works. So anyway, this is the fifth round. We're down to 512 now. And next time, which, by the way, won't be next week. That's right. Yeah, no, don't show up next week, because next week is the fundraiser. It's also an abbreviated show. They showed up 1 week when we had when I wasn't even here.
I'm sure. Yeah, I heard about that. You know, some people were really annoyed.
And we still had to pay them. Well, let's not get into that. Actually, you know what? You guys got that train to catch. All right, there they go. All right. So I'm not sure when we're going to be. I have to talk over them, because otherwise we're going to run out of time. I'm not sure when the next time we do this will be. Probably sometime in April, because we have a fundraiser going on for the next month, and we have a couple of games, and I think we even preempted one of those weeks. But the idea is, next time we'll bring it down to 256, then 128, then 64, then 32, 16, 8, 4, 2, and then 1. Oh, and maybe I didn't mention this, but when we get to the final one, that's the Starbucks I must go to, no matter where it is in the world. So it could be in Guadalajara, Mexico. It could be in Pyongyang, North Korea, though not very likely. And hang on, I just got to get back to this. All right. Well done. And nobody got hurt this time. So that's great. Okay, grab your stuff and get to the train. They have to run across the athletic fields to get there. Next time we'll bring down 256. But
yeah, that next time is going to be in April? Everyone's going to be holding on to their chairs really tightly.
I made it clear this is not going to be something that's quick. It's going to take a bit of time, and I'm dragging it out. But, these things will happen. I was talking about pit peeves. First of all, we usually have another feature here where we play a telephone song from this 100th anniversary record that we have from the Bell System in 1976. But we're not going to do that tonight, because we want to take phone calls. I guess we can do that next week. We're going through the album on vinyl, slowly but surely. Let's see. What else has been going on here? All kinds of pet peeves. Okay, here's one of my pet peeves. I was talking about the World Cinema Channel and the lack of foreign films and things like that that are available to American TV viewers. Here's something else. I've been railing about this for a while. Why is it on all of Long Island there are no Vietnamese restaurants? Not a single one. You know, not a single one. I've looked everywhere. In fact, I even found something on the internet yet again, something called, a Vietnamese place that opened in Williston Park. It's in Nassau County, but, you know, it's the closest thing that we had. And that closed down. Yeah. Someone told me that the reason there are no Vietnamese restaurants anywhere in Long Island is because there are too many Vietnamese vets on Long Island, and they don't like that.
Oh, so it is discrimination.
Well, that's just what I've been told. I don't know if that's true. I'd like to know if that's true. But here's the thing. I've noticed some places sometimes start selling Vietnamese food, and they stop. They stop pretty quickly. They have things like summer rolls and even Vietnamese coffee sometimes. But after a month or two, they don't exist. And, you know, I've been to Texas. They're prevalent in Texas. They're all over the place in Manhattan and of course, on the West Coast as well. It just seems like we're due. You know, so if anyone out there, I remember we used to not have Mexican restaurants too, and of course we got over that little hurdle. But if anyone out there has the ability to do this, you know, you have a customer here, all right? And if you can bring foreign films as well, that would be even better. It's just, you know, you wonder about these things. Why is it that this kind of thing just doesn't happen for some reason? Any theories?
I think this is just there to, annoy you. Yes.
Could be. Could be. Well, you know, something else that annoys me is what's going on with people. I mean, with the whole healthcare thing going on.
Oh, yeah.
That continues to this day. Today, at least, there was a demonstration in Washington, D.C. where people actually were protesting the healthcare industry. Labor union members, religious leaders, and other activists expressed outrage over what they call greedy insurance companies. They urged Congress to pass healthcare reform during a protest today in the nation's capital. Now, this is the kind of thing we need more of. You have those people, those teabag people doing their thing. Fine, you know, that's great. They're exercising their right to speech. But they're going to get everything they want if nobody else says anything, if nobody else speaks up. I hear people complaining all the time, but when it comes down to actually standing up and being counted, they back down. And that's the surest way to lose. So, yeah, you know, you can point the finger at Obama all you want and say, oh, he's betraying us and he's not keeping his promises. Well, you know what? You also have to speak up. Otherwise, he's going to assume that majority of people want things a certain way, just like this whole thing where the alleged terrorists are going to be tried, supposedly in a civilian court. But now there's a rumor that the administration is considering going back to the Bush administration idea of having it held in a military court. Now, you can say, oh, my God, they're all the same. You know, Bush, Obama, they all do the same thing in the end. But when you look around, when you see that something like 33% of Americans now say that it's a good idea to have it in a civilian court, when everybody says, no, not in my city, in someone else's city, when nobody stands up and says, this is a bad idea to have this in a military court, and here's why. And yes, we are willing to do this. We are willing to accuse these people in a civilian court and stand up. You cannot be surprised when things don't go your way if you don't speak up. Right?
Well, I think also with the court thing, money is supposed to be an issue. I know that, for instance, there's supposed to be cases going on in New York City, mm-hmm. and New York is saying, federal government, could you give us some money for the security? Because this is going to be a lot, and we don't want to have to pull security from outer parts of the city.
Okay, am I the only one that doesn't understand this? But what exactly is it we're securing? Are we securing the prisoners? Because
I assume the entire event. Because
it would seem we wouldn't care very much about their security. We shouldn't really be. I mean, somebody attacks them. Okay, that's we probably don't care as much about them. That's my impression. The venue obviously needs to be secured. But are terrorists going to attack a terrorist trial? Is that the idea? It just seems like, if I was a terrorist, I thought through how the process works, the brain process. Wouldn't I want to attack something that you're not expecting somebody to attack? If they're having a terrorist trial in New York, well, then that's the time you'd attack Kansas or some other place,
But there's not a lot of people in Kansas compared to New York.
All right, then you attack another city. You attack someplace else. I don't know. I'm not trying to give them ideas. I'm just saying that you pour all this money into things. Is it really the right thing to do? Also, here's something. Here's an idea, and I doubt this will ever take off, but they're saying this will cost billions of dollars. Now, if one of those terrorists, alleged terrorists, pleads guilty, it's like he's giving us a couple of billion dollars. Now, isn't that enough right there to have a reduction in sentence? Huh? He's giving us all this money, which we can then use to rebuild the World Trade Center already. Everything's okay. Well, okay, maybe not everything is okay, but you know what? It's a step. I'm just trying to think creatively here.
Your logic is undeniable. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. That's all I wanted to hear. But no, it's an issue. Seriously, it's an issue where people act outraged, but when you ask them, did you actually stand up and be vocal about something, most of the time the answer is no. They're waiting for somebody else to do it. And all these other people are out shouting them. And yeah, you know what? The right wing is always going to be able to shout louder. They have bigger lungs. It's true. It's a fact. And they have no qualms about stepping on other people, literally and figuratively. So, yeah, you're at a disadvantage from the start. You have to start speaking up. Otherwise, yeah, what is Obama supposed to do exactly? He's supposed to go against the majority of the people, the vast majority of the people, and do things his way and then open himself up to being labeled as somebody who is not in touch with the American people. The American people have got to get back in touch with him. I think that's where the failure has been. And if we lose this healthcare battle, you certainly can't accuse him of not pursuing that. He certainly has been tireless as far as trying to get some kind of reform. Not the perfect kind of reform, no, but reform of some sort. My insurance rates have just doubled. I just found this out yesterday, in fact. Yeah. And I can either go to some crazy amount of deductible or have to pay double. And this kind of thing's happening to people all over the place.
You know, a lot of people will criticize their politicians for not doing something or doing something they don't like. But, you know, if you want to live in a democracy, it's not about, you know, what they decide they want to do. They're supposed to be your representatives. They're supposed to do what you tell them to do. And if people don't, you know, stand up and say anything, then they are not participating in the system that they're proud of living in.
Absolutely. And another pet peeve, you know, this whole thing about high-speed rail, which I really hope is going to start at some point. I know a lot of money was allocated for this. Okay, let's see some of the local governments actually start making things happen. What are we seeing here in New York instead? We're seeing the MTA proposing cutting entirely a train branch that goes from Ronkonkoma to Greenport here on Long Island. Can you believe this? Rather than having more trains, they're saying, let's have less trains because we can't keep our books straight. And that's just insane. When we have an administration that is in favor of improving mass transit, that these guys can't seem to keep it straight. Makes no sense.
I would expect there to be good programming on TV before we get good train service or better.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that might be true. But, you know, the money is being allocated for this, and they just have to allocate it properly, and I'm sure they can figure it out.
In politics, just because they say it's being allocated doesn't really mean very much.
Anyway, you can't expect people to stop driving their cars when you cut mass transit, and when you have inefficient, inferior mass transit, which is what we have in this country. Okay, and another thing, this is something that you and I discovered yesterday.
Yeah.
The smart car dealership closed down here in Long Island in Suffolk County. It's gone. It's replaced by a showroom with SUVs and minivans and things like that. What is wrong with people in this country? Oh, my God. It never ceases to amaze me. You know, gas prices go down a little bit. That means what? You're going to start wasting it again? You're not going to actually think intelligently and do something that might be better for the environment? You're just going to be wasteful and pigheaded because you have the right to be, you know?
What really annoyed me about that whole thing was more than just the fact that it was, this like one smart car dealership in the area being replaced by an SUV place, but was that it was in a string of dealerships on a single strip of road,
mm-hmm.
and almost more than half of them were all SUV dealerships or truck dealerships.
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't get what's wrong with people sometimes. I really don't. I mean, why is it a bad thing to conserve, to act a bit intelligently, to not be wasteful? Sometimes I feel like I'm completely out of touch. All right, let's read some mail, because that always makes me feel better, because our listeners are definitely not of that ilk. They're more intelligent people. Let's see. Here's a letter. We just got this letter today, actually. Dear Manuel, I think self-assessment as a good driver is not enough to actually be one. Have you actually tested your driving abilities while using the phone? At least in Austria, one can take driving classes where various hazard situations are simulated, like a wall of water suddenly appearing to test your reaction time. Maybe there is something like that where you live. It's called Jericho Turnpike, actually.
I would actually go there just to take that test as an amusement.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds really cool.
Yeah, it does. In fact, it'd be a good amusement park ride. In my opinion, this parallels the gun issue. Gun control laws restrict the freedom of gun owners because there is a percentage, possibly 100%, of them that cannot handle guns safely. If you query gun owners, I guess most will think of themselves as having enough self-control and discipline to qualify for a weapon, just like you think you can drive safely while using the phone. You know, I have to say, I have no response. I think this is an excellent point because, yeah, you know, I understand exactly how you're looking at the situation, and I see how I'm looking at the situation. I'm somebody who actually feels like, you know, I can handle this, but maybe my perception is a bit warped by my own self-interest. I don't know. It's an interesting point, and if you apply that to gun owners as well, of course, I'm sure the gun lobby would never consider this also. But yeah, maybe they're a bit tainted in how fair they think they can be. Interesting. Very interesting and very good point. With both issues, the life and limb of other people is at stake, so I think sensible regulation is appropriate. Also, regarding the Starbucks playoff, could you post a list of locations that are still hopeful to the website? I think that would make for good cheering if one's hometown is still on there. Thanks for the good show. My compliments to the dancer, signed Rob. Or is it Robe? R-O-B-B-E. I don't know how to pronounce that. But thanks for the excellent points there. And yeah, you know, we are going to post as the list gets a little bit shorter. Otherwise, it turns into a list of lots of Starbucks, and then it's probably copyright infringement if we do that. So we're just going to, as we get closer, we'll definitely post when we're narrowing it down. But yeah, interesting point there that this listener raises. And, you know, it brings me to yet another one of my pet peeves, the proliferation of guns. How many stories this week? Let's go through it really quickly. Two Pentagon police officers shot. The gunman was killed. This happened at the entrance to the Pentagon last week. Now, this guy walking around with a concealed weapon, perfectly legal in Virginia, no problem. In fact, it's encouraged. Go into a bar, get drunk with one, no problem at all. What else? We have Ohio. This happened today. Ohio State employee kills coworker, then self, police say. Three hurt in shooting at Dallas office building. 18s shot at Indiana skate rink. This is all within the last week. And it's hard to even find these stories anymore. They don't even make the front page lots of times because they're so common. And the only reason they're common is because there are so many guns. When I went to school, we didn't have all these armed guards everywhere checking everybody, looking for weapons because they weren't as prevalent. You have to recognize that's number one. That's the issue. Guns are prevalent. Now, what do we do with that? Well, there's two schools of thought. One is let's have more guns to prevent the guns that exist from hitting as many people, and the other is to have less guns. And I'm more in favor of the latter. I don't know. Does that make me crazy?
Well, I think you're right, because if you have escalation, it's pretty obvious. Everyone pretty much knows what comes as a result of that. And, you know, for instance, when you had several countries all around the world with mm-hmm. nuclear weapons, and each of them keep on trying to get more and more and more, everyone eventually realized this isn't going to go anywhere good. We need to figure out how to cut back. And it's the same thing with guns, with people. If people just continue to escalate and say, let's have more, and everyone starts carrying them, it's only a matter of time before somebody gets angry and shoots somebody. Then right. Other people start becoming more loose with their the way they control themselves.
Yeah, and this happens, you know, all the time. You know, whenever you see a fight or a conflict, how many times have you seen a fight or a conflict go away because somebody pulls a gun? You know, the gun does not make it better. The gun makes it worse. And when someone has a gun, they are more likely to use it in anger. Now, this has nothing to do with situations where people feel they have the right to have a gun. Sure, no problem. It's just, do you have the right to have an armament of all kinds of weaponry that could take out an office building? You know, I don't think that's protecting you. I think that's making you a threat. And there's a big, big difference there. This has got nothing to do with taking down a corrupt government, because name me one case in the last 100 years where that has occurred simply with citizens running around with pistols or rifles. No, you need tanks, you need armies, you need all kinds of people that exist in no small supply on your side to take down a corrupt government. You cannot just do it because you have the Constitution and a gun. It doesn't work that way. Maybe it worked that way in the 1700s. Sure doesn't work that way now. So that's not a valid reason, all right? A valid reason is saying, yeah, I want to have this for hunting. I want to collect this. I feel I need this for my self-preservation or whatever. All right, but, you know, within reason. And I think we're fast escalating beyond reason, and we're seeing the results every single day in the news around us.
Well, now, the regulation issue is a really complicated and hard thing to deal with. So one thing that I look at is other examples of things that people try to regulate, control, and say is dangerous to society. And I think that what we need is actually just, well, society needs to be more... take more care to do the right thing. Like, if you look at a lot of other countries in Europe where the drinking age is lower, you know, instead of just simply regulating and telling people you can't do this because this is bad, you end up trying to have the society better understand the threats of something and then self-impose
yeah.
order.
Yeah, the reason is not because of the rule. The reason is because this is not good. We understand why it's not good. It's not just because of the penalty.
Regulation alone won't solve anything. Instead, you have people who just simply don't want to get caught.
Okay. You know, I'm sorry. We said we're going to take phone calls, and we're still going to take phone calls, but they have to come in now at 631-632-9872. I'm going to jump into delay right now.
Hi, this is Arthur Lee of Love, and you're listening to WUSB Stony Brook.
Look at that. I'm in delay already. and hopefully this worked okay. Again, our number is 631-632-9872. I'm a bit distorted, though. Let me try and fix the distortion. Unfortunately, we don't have the equipment to monitor our levels while we're in delay, so we have to sort of guess. And that's why it sounds like that sometimes. Okay, 631-632-9872. If you have a comment on anything that you've heard or have something you would like to say, you have about 5 minutes to do so. I guess those of you listening locally, you have the advantage because it takes a while for the signal to get out on the internet. But yes, go ahead, Dot Red. Any other points on the?
No, simply what I said before. I think what you need is people simply self-imposing order, understanding, you know, the good and the bad of these things. Because telling people, trying to get the society to stop using guns or something simply because of penalties sounds just as problematic as having a million guns.
I think, you know, we just, again, it's another example of people not having the courage to speak up. Everyone looks around and sees something wrong. They see, yeah, we're driving wasteful cars. Yeah, we, you know, we have crap on television. Yeah, we, you know, we're doing a lot of stupid things. We're not having health care reform. We're allowing the right wing to dictate policy because they speak louder. And we're not speaking up, you know, we're not doing anything in opposition to this, and we're just content to sort of sit back and see it all fall apart. This is another example where if you speak up, it might actually make a difference. Just because everybody is arming themselves to the teeth doesn't mean that you can't turn around and improve the situation, because, you know, you don't turn around and improve the situation. I can't imagine what the situation would be like in 10 years. I mean, we live in a radically different country than we did even 20 years ago, where you have to be practically strip searched to go into a school these days. The shootings are commonplace, and we just are increasingly violent and hostile. You know, that's got to change. Can't get much worse if we're going to survive as a society. Yeah, we can totally fall apart and become fragmented and have all kinds of civil and non-civil wars, but I'd rather not go down that road. I guess we're not talking about controversial enough issues because we're not getting any calls. Isn't that something? We're not even asking for money. Not this week.
The funny thing is that that's exactly what you were just talking about right now. People not speaking up.
Yes, you are listeners or non-listeners, whoever's not out there, you're proving my point right now by not speaking up. You see, this is exactly what gets us into this situation.
You might agree with us. You might completely disagree, but we don't know.
What's with people that can't speak up? They can't say anything unless they're going to agree, you know? You can't disagree. I don't want to talk about that. It's too political. It's too controversial. Let's go watch TV instead. It's pathetic.
Let's
watch
Channel 7 instead.
Yeah. You know what? We have another 4 minutes or so. What shall we waste the time with? Shall we talk about something that is more conducive to listeners that don't want to get involved in something that might actually make them think or make them angry or make them frustrated?
Well, how will we know what will do that since
I don't know.
They're not telling us?
Yeah, 631-632-9872. This is really your last chance. Again, we're going to be in fundraising mode for the next few weeks, so we won't be able to take calls then. And, unless the phones are broken, or unless
that's
the transmitter is broken and the internet is broken all at the same time, which has happened, this really is...
The internet has broken?
It's so sad. We're going to stay in delay for the next couple of minutes and see if anybody out there. But of course, you're only going to have a few seconds if you ever do call. Anything else? Maybe off the hook. You know, off the hook, we get lots of people calling in for all kinds of controversial subject matters. Sometimes
so
things.
If you decide that you wanted to say something, you didn't get a chance to. Who knows? Maybe you'll be able to tomorrow if you listen and call when we
ask.
We
won't be talking about this. We'll be talking about technology. You know, it's very different. Wow, this is I've never seen anything like this. Never seen nobody cares. Nobody cares. It's pathetic. It really, I know our signal sucks. We have the worst signal on Long Island. I know that. But you know what? We're on the internet as well. All right? And people go to great lengths to get our signal. People drive under bridges and park in places they're not supposed to park just so they can get to one of those few places where we actually do come in clearly. Oh, look at this. Here they come. Finally. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall. Speak up, please. Oh, boy. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Yeah, I'm calling because I care. And
oh,
I
good.
Was listening to, the end of the discussion while I was driving in my car, and I totally agree, and I think that there were many valid points that were made.
Did you not call because you were driving? Because that's a valid excuse. Look at this. We have four calls now.
I
wow.
I pulled over so I could just call because it's a lot. And I only
every
called
line
the
is lit.
End of it. But
all the lines are now lit. This is so frustrating because we only have a couple minutes, but let's try it, all right? We're going to try and get through as many as possible. But so you basically agree with what we were saying.
I totally agree, and I also agree that people need to speak up more and, start doing something, or if there is, or I have ideas, or do something about what's going on in this country today, because it's really a mess.
Okay, let's hope they do. We're going to go to some more calls and see what they have to say as well. Thanks.
Yeah, okay.
All right. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Oh, hi. I'd just like to tell you how much I've enjoyed your show and its various manifestations over the years.
Well, thanks. Thanks very much.
And, yeah, I liked a lot of the points you were just raising.
Mm-hmm.
I think the problem might be is that generally it's people that think like me and you that listen to the show. We're not really maybe getting through to the people on the other side.
I don't know. I listen to conservative radio because I want to hear what they're saying, and it gets me angry.
I do, too. I do as well.
I would hope they'd listen to me as well so that, we can have an exchange of dialogue.
But I don't, and another thing, I'd like to just make one quick point is I think we've gotten to a point where people just believe what they want to believe,
mm-hmm.
regardless of the facts.
Yeah, and they're not willing to listen to any other side or give anything.
Yeah, and this goes for the left as well as the right in some
mm-hmm.
cases, and I think it's just a scary place we're getting to.
Absolutely, absolutely. Listen, I'm going to take one more call. Thanks so much for your call, though.
Bye now. Thanks for the show.
Take care, and good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
How are you tonight?
Hi, what's going on?
I guess I would just show my support and...
radio's on. It's going to be very confusing. You have about 30 seconds.
I have 30 seconds?
Yes.
I love the show.
Well, thanks.
And
your radio's still up, by the way. I can still hear it.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Oh, that was really bad because
yeah.
I...
Yeah, that's we're on delay, so you'll get confused.
I know. And I owe you an email because we... I want to talk to you about some things.
So. Okay, good. Well, I'll read that then. Thanks thanks for your call. Thanks everybody else who's calling in now. Okay, I didn't mean to pull the guilt card like that. Sometimes you have to, though.
Well, I'm glad people at least are supportive, and that's good.
I think... Let me get out of delay.
Yeah,
get out of delay. I think it's important that we show that people are out there, and sometimes you have to prod people a little bit to get them to speak. And, I got the wrong thing out there. Got last week's outro. Sometimes you have to be loud and abrasive. It gets results. In my case, it got results here, but maybe it'll get results if you do it, if you try it.
Well, we just did, and then we did get results.
Yeah, I'm trying to load the CD, so it'll take a little bit of negotiation to do that. Please continue to speak up and speak out, whether you agree or not agree. The important thing is not to be silent. The important thing is not to just take it.
It's also important that people have other opinions coming out and letting the word be heard, because then people's opposing points of view are discussed, and maybe you come to a better one,
mm-hmm.
or you come to a middle place, or who knows? The only way you'll find out is if you talk.
Right, exactly. You can reach us, otw@2600.com. That's our email address. And again, we'll be back next week with a special fundraising edition. I believe an abbreviated fundraising edition for the next 2 weeks, actually. So that'll be interesting. That'll be fun. Please show your support, because keeping this place going is so important, and it really does allow for a dialogue and exchange of ideas and things like that. And again, Dot Red and I will be both back for Off the Hook tomorrow night on BAI. Dot Red, thanks for stopping by.
Oh, thank you.
I'm sure we'll continue this discussion well after the show. You can write to us, otw@2600.com. Show us your feelings, your thoughts, and tell us why you didn't call in, too.
See you next week.
You're boned like a saint with the consciousness of a snake.
This is Lenny Kay from the Patti Smith Band. You're listening to WUSB 90.1 FM from Stony Brook, whence the Blue Oyster Cult originated.
You're the kind of girl.
Yeah, kids, welcome to the revolution. WUSB Stony Brook Finns Revolution till 9 p.m. this Tuesday evening. Tonight, we have the Long Island Roller Rebels, baby. That's right. Roller Derby Girls right here, live, giving away some free tickets to see the Rebels. So stay tuned for that. Hey guys, I'm going to send out a tune before we go through with the regular show here. A very, very dear friend of mine just passed away this last week. And Stony Brook alumni and educator, administrator, Ross Golden. And one of the things we always have been discussing the last few weeks is, when's that new Jimi Hendrix album coming out? And I said, you know, the day it comes out, I shall make sure we get it on the air. But so that's today, and so this is going out into the ether to Ross Golden on WUSB Stony Brook, brand new Jimi Hendrix.
Scott, no.